Hey, welcome to the Underwater Sunshine Podcast. This is your host, Adam Duritz. And for this week, once again, James and I will be doing one more podcast on the garden sessions from the Underwater Sunshine Festival. And we begin today with a really old friend of mine, St. John Tate, formerly of Remy Zero. And this is his song, Ghost.
Well, she moves like a ghost, twist up like smoke in the air. And her eyes seem to bleed, but don't worry, she sees you there. Saying, I need something more to get by. Her little gray hands need some sun. But don't worry, this'll soon be done, 'cause I know your name, and it always ends the same. It's just a game.
Welcome back to the Underwater Sunshine Podcast from the Garden Sessions at the Underwater Sunshine Festival. My friend James and I are here with an old, old friend of mine for about 20, it's got to be 20 years at least, St. John Tate.
Hello.
My friend St. John, formerly of Remy Zero, now of St. John Tate and St. John Tate Live and the St. John Tate Experience.
Yeah, no, I'd like that one.
Now, how was it playing today?
Amazing. It's so great.
You said you had not played...
No, not since the surgeries.
You know? Since you had cancer?
Yep.
How are you feeling now?
I'm golden. They took a bunch of unneeded organs out, and now I'm all good.
Which ones did you get rid of? I'm thinking of getting rid of some. I don't know which ones.
I'd like to we got too highly suggested. Just dive on it. Just let them, you know, like a smorgasbord. Let them just see which ones they want out.
Where was the cancer?
In different places. Yeah. It just kind of spread all over, but, you know.
But you feeling all right nowadays?
I am so great. I'm so used to complaining, I have nothing to complain about. I feel better than I did before cancer.
You just play beautifully.
It's magic. Thank you so much.
I never saw Adam. I mean, it was funny. He and I if you listen to the podcast ever, you know him, obviously.
Yeah,
He's he's waving like a maniac. You have to see this.
I've known this gentleman forever. And you know what's so, he was like an institution and still is. I mean, Sorry, do you mind if I go on over
to the institution now? Yes, please.
I would go to his house, and you didn't know who was there. You would go, and you would have dinner, and you're like, oh, Ryan Adams is having a meal with this guy, and this guy's... And you had no idea who was going to be there. And it was magic. He let all these cool people who you would hang out and live with for, you know, weeks on end. And then they, next thing you know, they're huge stars over here and over here. And it was just this... It was a really cool community. But it was a mobile community. Everywhere this Freakazoid went, it was kind of this weird community of people.
Yeah. It lives on. It lives on.
I know,
that
I was going to say. It's still.
There are about 40 people here till 4 in the morning and sleeping here.
Four,
woke up over, walked out over the bodies this morning when I went to get a bagel for Zoe.
It was cool to watch you play just now and now knowing what you went through. Because at one point, you just kind of looked up and you were like, I'm just so happy to be here. And I know you're saying you're happy to be here playing your songs. But it's kind of what Keith Richards says all the time, you know, I'm happy to be here. Hey, no, I'm happy to be anywhere.
I came to the edge of the river. I'm happy to be here and anywhere, yeah. So, and you know, the cool thing is that I every morning is a magic, man. So, I just spread it as much as I can. All my old stuff has been forgiven and forgotten, and I'm a new person, you know. And I love it.
I'm sure this is a stupid question, but I'll ask it anyway. Does this inform your songwriting?
Oh,
now?
Yeah. Absolutely, in every way.
Well, certainly that song, Thank You.
Thank You
is
the first one.
That.
That's the
yeah.
only one.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Wow,
and that's just the beginning of my Thank Everything trilogy that I'm working on.
If there's a piece of me there, after this disease, it's yours to do as you see fit. And if it's supposed to be, well, then I guess it's supposed to be, but I'm not ready to quit yet. Just a day, all I really wanna say is thank you. Thank you for a God above, keeping secrets from the rest of us, I pray he tells them all to you one day. And if it's supposed to be, well, another child of just you and me and our boy, Daddy, is it okay? Yeah, it's okay. Today, all I really wanna say is thank you. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you say. Hey, hey, hey. That's all I ever really wanted to say. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
It's funny, it's I walked over to tell some people, like, when you were getting ready to start to play, Katie, who's a blogger, whose blog I used to follow, Katie Darby recommends, she doesn't really write it anymore, but she wrote, for Underwater Sunshine, she wrote the weekly pieces on every band we had play here, so she's like a musicologist.
They were great.
A college professor,
those,
too.
Great,
but,
yeah.
A huge musical lover, and I was like, oh, you guys got to see my friend Sinjin play. And she said, oh, we can't. We got to go deliver the stuff down to this gig right now. I'm sorry we have to go. I'm like, oh, too bad. I thought you would have loved him. You probably would have loved him. I should give you some, some of his old band stuff too, because you would have liked that. And she's like, "Ooh." I'm like, "Oh, it's just, he was in this band called Remy Zero that I really loved." And she stopped in her tracks. She's like, "Next thing I know, she's sitting over here watching. Like, they didn't go down to the club at all." Yeah. She's like, "I love Remy Zero."
Oh, right, I like that.
Yeah, people stayed.
Yeah, there was one song you played, and I said to Adam, "It reminds me of not in any way except for the phrasing and the way you were expressing it.
Yeah.
Sort of the Ziggy era Bowie."
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. You know how when he gets at the edge of the edge there, right. And he's really kicking it like 5 years or something.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you had a lot of that in this. And it's great, too, because when you're playing, the guitar is just like it's barely audible. So you're going, you know what I mean? You're leaning in. So it's...
That means a lot to me. Thank you.
I always thought that was what, you know, when I first knew you, with the demos, it was a while. I knew you a while until we did the demos for, when you did the demos right. for Villa Elaine, later became Villa Elaine.
Right.
But those demos already sounded like Ziggy Stardust.
He did all the demos.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah, he offered this album called Villa Elaine. His hand was in all of it. It was prior to Villa that I was even living at his house. I mean, he worked with every single song and was just like magic on the whole thing. So. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yes.
I was going to say, because it was pretty influential on me, too, because as I was telling them before you played it, I don't know if you heard, but that High Life was really written in response to Life and Rain.
Exactly.
You know, the first line, I once had marigolds for eyes.
That's right,
know,
we talked about that.
All of my friends had flowers, flowers in their eyes, you know, but I got none this year. You know, like, I was just having trouble with writing and having trouble with where life was going. And, I was responding to all the sort of emotion and joy in that song and on the whole record, you know. Because that's when you were making Villa Elaine, right when we were making Desert Life.
Why is it when you have trouble, you end up writing these really great songs, and then when you don't have trouble, you end up writing these really great songs? What the flip? I have trouble, and I just disappear for 6 years, and you have trouble, and it's just another hit record of heartbreaking songs.
I was always very, not particularly prolific, though. I've always had, like, 10 songs, write a record, not write anything for 3 or 4 years, 5 years, and then write a record. I'm very prolific in a very short burst of 10 to 12 songs. But there'll be no album of outtakes from Counting Crows Records because there aren't any. There are maybe 4 songs out there that ever, like, didn't make it to records. I only wrote the songs for the records for the most part. I mean, there's Chelsea and, I mean, Good Luck are for the play anyways. There's only been about, you know, I don't know how many.
I remember getting an early version of Black and Blue, and it kind of destroyed my world pretty hard for a while time, where I kind of felt, you know that anger you get when somebody does something, and you're like, wow, that's really great. Oh, flip, that's really good. You know, it was like jealousy that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It was so brilliant. It was amazing. And that song just has haunted my, like, every mix list that I give to someone. It's that. Mm-hmm. He's a ninja.
We were passing our music back and forth to each other
in
its infant stages.
It was cool.
For a few years.
Yeah.
It was magic. I got to tell you, it was a magic period. I mean, there was just great things going on everywhere. And you never knew what to expect. You could come out and just hear somebody playing something repetitively over here, and then you'd like, oh, that's a cool chord. I'll take that one. You know? It was good. Nice. It was really cool, man.
Do you paint over any of what's your process of writing songs? Do you spend a lot of time thinking about themes, or it just kind of comes?
No, I go in manic bursts. I get, like, really overdriven. I don't sleep for days and days and days and days, and then I stop for a long time and recoup. And then I come back in, and I'll do, like, 14 songs. But, see, the thing is I write for the sake of writing, so I'll have a bunch of songs, and it's just next. Because I like the idea of recording them and, you know, play with sounds and stuff. And then once it's done, for me, it's done. So I go to the next song, whereas a lot of times, like, my girl and people will say, you know, you should put this out or you should let someone hear it. But I don't think in terms of that yet, you know. But I need to now.
Right.
I'm going
What was the song that you requested that he was like, oh, wait, I think I can do this, yeah.
Life and Rain.
Yeah.
That's the Life and Rain.
That's Life and Rain, yeah.
Okay, so when you started to play that and you were like, wait a minute, I got this. No, wait a minute, I got it.
I looked
been
it
a
up
while.
I had to look it up on my phone.
I did it. I got it on my phone. I printed the lyrics in the back room, in case you didn't remember them. If it stopped again,
well,
I had the
what
lyrics printed up in the back.
That's good.
I thought of it, because I was also, I'm like, well, I just got the guy to play a song we wrote 20 years ago.
This guy's like 7 steps ahead of everyone.
I better do
He's
that.
He's always like that. Yeah.
It suddenly
like that
occurred to
everything.
Me, I just wanted to hear it, but it suddenly occurred to me, that's a rough one to throw on someone. You know?
Right. That was a strange one.
People just assume you're a human jukebox. That's the thing. Nah, he did. I'm not saying you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you haven't played a song in a while, and you're like, hey, don't you know this? And you're like, I do. It's in the recesses, man. But
yeah,
well, it's often just easier if you just have the lyrics. Then you can just go to emoting. You just get to the emoting part. You don't have to do emoting and remembering at the same time. You know,
so much right now. It's true, man. You just like black. You don't have to play a chord. That's what I would do live, because I'm not a stand-up guitar player. But I would stop and just be like, I'm gonna sing really loud. Hopefully, they forget this part, and I come back in on the G.
That's like wisdom. Come back
I'm
on the G.
Singer world.
That's right.
I once had marigolds for eyes. a scene fade on cloudy day. When it seems like the fog has died, well then so have I. So when it comes down, you'll know I'm with you. How could I show you? It's all the same. It feels good to know, and it feels good to know you. How would you know? We once had oceans left to fly. Where the trees and the river parted ways. When it seems like a fun has died, well then so have I. I should know, you know, I'm with you. Feels good to know you. Feels good to know you. Well, how would you know? You stole from a small thin lie. You tore from the old frame. There's no one here to bring you back again. So when it comes down, you'll know. Oh, you'll know. Helena's pulled to the ground. You should have known soon she would come down. Words were the first thing to go. A lie they would never know. Ooh, how could you know? Oh, you know. It feels good to know. All I've read, nearly all I've known, nearly all I've known has gone away.
I love that you printed that out.
What are the other guys up to now? Have you talked to Cedric or Jeff or your brother?
Ced's managing bands. He's managing Warpaint and a couple of things. And Cedric's...
Cedric's a manager. That's right. I forgot.
And Kano's playing with Church.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're coming in town in a couple of days. And my brother's working on music. It's great. He's doing a lot of cool stuff. And then I'm just working on little things. I have, like, a movie I'm working on right now. I'm trying to start working on this movie, but if everything's looking really good, you know, so I'm happy.
You don't hear that normally.
It's like good to hear.
Please hand me that piano. I'm working on little things, like a movie.
It's cool. Yeah, it's going really good. Yeah. And there's a lot of music, but it's fun. It's challenges. It's great. You know, I'm just so happy to be here and love seeing this man any chance I get. So I'm just happy.
That's great.
There you go. On that note.
We got a show to go to.
Oh, yeah. Let's go see a great show tonight, right?
Yeah.
Is this going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I believe
it's happening.
Right down the street.
Yes.
Right.
Even if we don't show, it's still going to happen.
Wait a minute. What? How am I getting in?
It's easy.
I play tambourine for somebody.
Yeah. Walk in backwards, like my uncle used to say.
All right. I'll do that.
Yeah. Seemed like you've been here all along.
Yeah. Just like you belong here. Yeah. All right, then, brother.
Late.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Are you kidding? This is awesome. You guys are amazing.
Thanks.
That was so cool.
Ooh, I saw stars falling all around her head. Red, gold, and blue.
for hours to come to tea again. And he waits forever for his old lover, and always wondering, will I see stars falling all around your head when you return? Sherry Fraser, what have you learned?
Marcy Playground, hanging out after their garden session at Underwater Sunshine. We've been doing these little interviews all day, and James and I have been doing a podcast for, you know, over a year now. What I've discovered today, though, is that while I'm really good at talking about myself, I'm not good at getting other people to talk about themselves.
Right.
And thank God James is here, because the interview format is entirely different. I understand now why it's so hard. We've only had one guest before in the history of the podcast, and that was Immer, our guitar player, who Immer needs no help talking at all. And he and I have been bantering for 35 years now anyway, so it's a new experience for me. You may have to talk about yourselves.
Yeah, just chime in anywhere. Well, I just want to say, first of all, thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you. I very rarely do this, honestly. I never yell songs out. But thank you so much for playing Jerry Fraser.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, of course.
One of my favorite bridges.
I wasn't going to say no.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Yeah, no, I'm not playing that.
No, sorry, we play everything but that. Of course.
So I mentioned in the podcast, I based my only novel on Alice in Wonderland, and you mentioned the Mad Hatter in there waits for Alice as a lover, and I always felt that that was the case with the Mad Hatter. He really loved her, but he kept insulting her, so she didn't want to come back, and then he was disappointed she left.
Right.
Is that how you see it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a relationship on some level I can relate to.
Are you a big fan of that book?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. There's a whole lot of children's literature that I just adore. I like, anything by... I loved C.S. Lewis, particularly. Oh, sure. I loved the Chronicles of Narnia. Loved those. I liked Mikhail Ende. I wrote The Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, some of those, growing up, you know, some of that stuff just, like, fired my imagination. And I loved it.
Yeah, it's a great song. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Did you get through any of the other ones by C.S.? I was completely enthralled by Narnia when I was a kid, I struggled getting through any of the other ones.
No, I couldn't get through. You're talking about all his, like, Christian literature?
Yeah, but there's a couple other books,
Screwhead
too.
Screwhead Tapes is good.
Yeah, there's a couple other things that are actually fiction still, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what they were, but I remember as a kid, after, you know, devouring the Narnia books, I wanted to find something else. And,
yeah.
You know, at that point, you only know an author. You know, so you got to keep going until you can find another author.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I had this line about the Mad Hatter and Alice, a relationship fraught with difficulty and hats, and I didn't get a chance to say it before. I'm just going to stick it in here, even though it's a punchline that it can't really happen this late. But I'm still throwing it in because this is my new interview style. A relationship fraught with difficulty and hats. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so just there, yeah.
There you go.
We don't have to go back to that anymore.
I love that. That's really good.
So that the country kind of style song you said that's brand new, the one you played prior to that.
Yeah.
What's the name of that? It's a long title. Yeah,
Everything I've Loved, I've Left.
It's a great, yeah, I love it. It starts off with a car, and then it goes on to other touchdowns. Really cool.
Cigarettes.
Yeah. everything I've loved, I've left my daddy and my mama and all that small town drama. Yeah, I pointed my wheels west. Everything I've loved, I've left. You're the sun, you're the moon, you're the waves that break on the shore. Don't be surprised if you see my bag by the door. Who knows, you might be next. 'Cause everything I've loved, I've left. Like those Carolina mountains, there was just something about them. I could feel it in my chest. Everything I've loved, I've left. You're the sun, you're the moon, you're the waves that break on the shore. But don't be surprised if you see my back by the door. Who knows, you might be next. 'Cause everything I've loved, I've left. You're the sun, you're the moon, you're the waves that break on the shore. But don't be surprised if I'm not here in the morning. Who knows, you might be next. 'Cause everything I've loved, I've left. Now you're holding my heart for a ransom. By the way, it could be the first, I guess, that I haven't loved and left.
That's a good one.
It's, you know, and it's true. Everything I've loved, you know, I've left, you know, is everything. I don't even drink anymore. I love alcohol.
Parentheses sigh.
I know, right?
I had to give up everything but
5 years.
Yeah.
I had to stop all the drugs and all the other stuff because my brain just won't cope with it. It turns to panic and fear. And I still like the alcohol, but that's the only thing I can still do. It's
a wonderful substance.
If you got no vices, you're, you know.
Yeah, of course. Nicotine. I don't know what I'd do without nicotine. It's like
caffeine.
Caffeine. Well, kind of.
Ah.
Yeah, okay, I admit it.
And children's literature.
I surrender.
I had this line about drinking, a relationship fraught with difficulty and wine, that I didn't get to say a minute ago.
And hats.
I'm gonna stick it in now, even though we've moved on to cigarettes. You know, as people who have fellow Wonderland record makers, because
yeah, that's right.
I really dug that record too, and we played Devil Woman on the show.
We did, yeah,
that
back to back.
Is that the name of that song? Yeah, Devil Woman. Yeah,
right, yeah,
awesome.
I already like that album too. Where do you guys live? Are you?
I live in Canada now.
I live in Brooklyn.
16 years.
Brooklyn. Oh, where in Canada?
Oh, here.
Hamilton.
Oh, right.
I was in Vancouver for years, and then had a studio out there, and then moved it to Toronto. Was there for years. And like the last 3 years, I've been in Hamilton. It's different.
Where are you from?
Originally Minneapolis, same as Dylan. But then Philly, grew up in Philly.
Oh, nearly Canada.
I've been in a million places.
What are y'all doing now? Playing around? And I heard you've been touring this year a lot.
Yeah, we were out with Everclear and Local H.
Oh, Art, really?
Yeah, Art actually is the one that turned me on to this, because he was going to... I think he was slated to be here.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and he was like, I can't do it, you know, so.
I met Art when I was first starting out, because my guitar player had a studio called Dancing Dog. Dave Bryson has a studio, Dancing Dog, in Emeryville, which is right next to Oakland and Berkeley. And I came in, we played a little bit together, and then he asked me to come in and sing backgrounds on our friend's record. And it went really well, so he asked me to come in on a bunch of people after that. And Colorfinger was Art's band.
Oh,
it was called Colorfinger. Before Everclear, this is back in like 1989, maybe.
Oh, man.
And wow. So I went and, like, one of the first things I ever sung on was Art's band. Sang some backgrounds for them.
That's crazy.
Like, one of my first real, like, professional recording sessions. It's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love Art.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Guys been playing together even before? Did you guys play together prior to starting this band, or did you know, how did you guys start playing?
No, we started the band right when we sort of met.
How long ago was that now? Early 90s?
4 or 5?
23 years ago.
Yeah, I was just playing by myself out in Olympia, Washington. And
playing with himself.
And that. And then, yeah, no, just
there's a vice.
Another vice.
Yeah, really. There's another vice. There's another one.
Yeah. Damn, nice.
Relationship fraught with difficulty and hats and wine and nicotine, you know.
Yeah, anyway, I ended up in New York, and our friend Kurt Rosenwinkel introduced me to Dylan, and from there, I mean, it was pretty much right away we started playing together. Just totally gelled, and it was good musically.
And we both happen to be from Minneapolis and go to these
hippie schools.
Hippie schools, like, so yeah, we hit it off right away. And the name meant something to both of us. So
yeah,
Adam mentioned that on the podcast about how the awkwardness of going into that playground when you were a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yes, yes.
Yes.
A relationship.
There is that, yeah. So hard.
You're right.
Excellent.
got you down, and everything about it makes you blue. Pick up, keep moving on, 'cause that's the very best thing you can do. It's alright. Hey, John, this too shall pass. It's just a season in your life. Yeah, well, oh yeah. Well, I'm kicking down the back streets and people wanna break my stride. Everyone has a time when they lose their pride. But
moved to New York then before the first record? Were you guys living here after that?
No, we met here.
We met here.
We came here to and met pretty much right away when you moved here.
Yeah,
we played these little places like on Ludlow Street.
What was that underground place? The something underground.
I don't know. I don't remember what that was called.
Well, there was a few of those. Ludlow Street Cafe.
Is that like Katz's Deli then?
Obviously Brownies.
Yeah, it was on the same block as Katz's Deli. Yeah. Some of those places have been ripped up and like
Coney Island High. Oh man, a lot of these places are just gone.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
Continental.
Famous,
yeah. The Continental.
The Continental.
It's just
I feel like I have bootlegs from both those places and I can't remember who it is.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Is the Mercury Lounge still around?
Yeah, that's still around.
Yeah, it was just like all places like that. Just playing in places like that every weekend.
Were you guys surprised that Sex and Candy blew out the way it did? It's kind of a quirky song. It kind of reminds me a little bit of what Randy Newman hit with, like, Short People or something. How did this happen?
Yeah, you're right. It was really unusual for the time. I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but originally we were on EMI Records, and then EMI closed that year that it came out. Like, closed.
Really?
Yeah, and just was sort of parceled off to Virgin and Capitol. And you were with Geffen, right?
Yeah.
So you probably know Gersh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Gersh was running Capitol at the time. And what happened was nobody was able to do anything with our music on EMI. And then one of these, a college rep at EMI, right as the company was closing, got it to Chris Muckley at 91X in San Diego, and he started spinning the record on his show, and it just started taking off there and getting really huge requests. And so their transmitter goes, it's so big, because I think it's in their transmitter's in Mexico, so it goes up all the way to, like, covers a lot of L.A. So it's all San Diego, but also a lot of L.A. So they were hearing that song on 91X in Los Angeles, and I guess they're like, hey, this is great. What is this? Oh, wait, we have this. We can pick this up from EMI, because EMI was, like I said, being parceled off between Virgin and Capitol. Uh-huh. So Gersh came in and picked us up.
Yeah, I think he played the song for me first back then.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's how I heard it.
Thank you for coming out.
No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for having us, guys. Hanging around downtown by myself, and I had so much time to sit and think about myself, and then there she was, like a double cherry pie. Yeah, there she was, like disco superfly. And I smell sex and candy here. Who's I lounging in my chair? Who's I casting devious stares in my direction? Mama, this surely is a dream. Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream. I take it. Hanging around downtown by myself, and I've had too much caffeine, and I was thinking about myself, and then there she was, in platform double sway. Yeah, there she was, like disco lemonade. And I smell sex and candy here. Who's I lounging in my chair? Who's I casting devious stares in my direction? Mama, this surely is a dream. Yeah, yeah, mama, this surely is a dream. I dig it. Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream. I smell sex and candy here. Who's I lounging in my chair? Who's I casting devious stares in my direction? Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream. Yeah, yeah, mama, this surely is a dream. Dig it. Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream. Yeah, yeah, all my mama surely is a dream. Yeah, yeah, oh mama, this must be my dream.
When we first were playing like open mics, Dave Bryson and I, this guy saw us play, and his brother-in-law was like the head of soundtracks for EMI, VP of soundtracks. And that guy came to see us and then invited us down to a meeting at EMI. And he's like, I want to sign you to a development deal. And I said, well, what's a development deal? Is that not a record deal? He said, well, it's like I'm going to give you money to make a video, and with that, I'll take it to the rest of the company. And they'll, you know, we'll, if we can talk them into it, we'll sign you. I'm like,
sketchy.
I was like, I said, well, do we have a choice at that point? No, no, it'll be good, because then I can talk them into signing you. But like, you're signed already, you have no leverage at all.
Nothing.
And
yeah.
I said, well, He goes, well, let me tell you about, you seem a little, you know, doubtful. Let me tell you about the video. I have this great idea for the two of you. We'll film it at the Paradise Lounge in San Francisco on that little acoustic stage up there in the corner. And I want to dress you guys both in black pants, black shoes, black turtlenecks, and black sports coats. And you'll just start playing around here on acoustic guitar, and there'll be a curtain of lasers. And you'll just, as a song goes, slowly walk forward through the curtain of lasers. And then, you know, it'll, first we'll just see Adam's face, and then Dave, and then you'll eventually, it'll just be the two of you in these sports coats and turtlenecks.
It just sounds like a Frankie Goes to Hollywood relax
video. Yeah, I mean,
video.
It's fucking hard. It sounds like a little bit like Freddy Krueger, too.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I think you called it the intergalactic Simon and Garfunkel video.
I thought it was the worst. All I could think of at the time was, thank God he explained the video. Because, you know, you're at that point in your life where a record deal sounds like,
yeah,
well, you've been wanting that your whole life, and it seems impossible. And then this guy's the first guy to ever come along and say this. But the idea was so horrible that we didn't end up getting sucked into it, thank God.
Yeah. Right.
And then, you know, of course, a few years later, yeah, I mean, Geffen kind of got swallowed up anyways. They became Interscope, but then they became Universal, and
yeah,
we never made
Universal
two
now.
Records in a row with the same staff at the record label. It was different every time.
Yeah, Capitol and Virgin, that whole thing, that became Universal as well.
Yeah, no, we did. Somewhere Under Wonderland was actually on Capitol. And they were great to us until we realized that all through the making of the record and the promotion, everything about it was great.
By the way, brilliant album.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Phenomenal
so
lyrics.
And then when we were touring on it, we were at Pink Pop, and the people organizers of Pink Pop in Holland came to us and said, you know, we'd broadcast different shows during the day on national radio, and we want to do the whole Counting Crows set. Like, fantastic, that's great. You know, we call. You need to sign this, and the record company's got okay. We call back there. They say, you know, well, they have to agree to pay us. You know, it's like, oh, my God, we're still doing this. You know, it's like
right.
You're still having the same. It's 2015. You're still having the same stupid. You're not getting paid. It's national radio. And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Universal owns Capitol. There we go. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pain.
The name is really, it says, you know what I mean?
It says it all.
It says right. It all.
Universal.
Yeah. Universal.
It's too bad because the staff at Capitol now is absolutely fantastic. They're like the greatest record staff. It's the best I've ever had anyone do on one of our records.
Yeah.
But Universal is still Universal. And once you get there, still dealing with that mess. Oh, well.
No comment.
Yeah. So I don't know when we're going to be playing this because we always, you know, parse them out. But you guys are on the road for how long now? You're going to be on, you're in the midst of me.
Well, no, actually,
right now
we just came off the road. Yeah, so we were doing that that Summerland tour thing, and which was over in August.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now we're going to be, I'm just hanging out trying to write songs for another record.
Tomorrow is the beginning and the end of our tour.
That's
our fall
much.
Tour.
Ah.
Yeah, that's right. This is it. This is the fall tour. And then I'm home writing songs.
Yeah. That's good.
I gotta do that.
Yeah. I hope they're all as good as that last one. That was really good.
Thanks,
really
man.
Great song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that style. Yeah.
They're gonna probably start in a second.
Yeah.
Cool. Who we got up here? Who's coming up?
I don't know.
I can't remember who's next. My sheet's over there.
Someone was yelling out Steven's name.
Oh, no, it's Elizabeth and the Catapult. I can hear the song.
Oh, cool.
They're
nice.
Playing underwater
right
now. Yeah,
yes.
It's got to be Elizabeth and the Catapult.
All right, well, thank you, guys. The Break a Leg, is it tonight?
Well, thank you.
No, they're playing tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night. Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Okay,
yeah.
But you guys come tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there was another show tonight.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a festival, guys.
It's really cool.
It's a damn festival.
And then we kind of come back here afterwards and hang out.
Yes.
All right, cool.
Awesome. And you're welcome to hang out all day, too.
Yeah, whatever you want. You can
host of bagels and
bunk
other.
Here. You can run an illegal internet enterprise out of here. It's fantastic.
Well, all right, we're gonna have to put our heads together for that.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that was a great hang with Marcy Playground. The next thing we got going on is we're gonna play you the interview we did with Brian Hall of Boy Bjorn and. What's the other band? Foreign Fields. But he's here playing with Boy Bjorn. And also our friend JP Roney from Boom Forest. We did the interview with them together because they're old friends. And we're going to start that off right now with a song by Boom Forest called Splitting Wood. Here's JP.
Loving you is like splitting wood.
tell you all about it if I only could. Well, there's this light in you that I sometimes see, but I feel so cold when you're next to me. Ooh, 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 ooh. They say you hold on tight to something good.
Can I get a stomp?
But my hands are tied and it's understood. But lying next to you while the time slips by, when my heart is wandering in the pines. Oh, lover, could you ease my mind? 'Cause these troubles make me feel so tired. And oh, if I don't love you like I should, 'cause loving you is like splitting wood, like splitting wood, like splitting wood, like splitting wood. And like the lonely silence of the falling snow, there's so much about me that you'll never know. I wanna know your hands like the back of mine, darkest woods and your timber lines. Oh, lover, could you ease my mind? 'Cause these troubles make me feel so tired. Oh, if I don't love you like I should, it's 'cause loving you's like splitting wood. Oh, lover, could you ease my mind? Troubles make me feel so tired. No, if I don't love you like I should, it's 'cause loving you, it hurts so good. Like splitting wood, like splitting wood, like splitting wood.
All right, we're here during the garden sessions, and we are sitting with two friends of mine who have been in bands together, bands apart, bands together. Every version of each of their bands has featured them with each other. The first time I saw Foreign Fields, Brian Hall and Eric Hillman's band, JP was in the band. And the first time I saw Boom Forest, JP's band, Brian and Eric were in the band.
And now he's my roommate.
Oh, yeah.
He currently lives with my wife and I now, too.
Oh, you are? Really?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing in Madison. I asked Brian, so where'd you guys go to in Wisconsin? Are you in Madison, too, like JP? He didn't mention yet. No, not just like JP, with JP.
Yeah.
So these are all my Wisconsin friends who relocated to Nashville and have now dislocated back to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I have to ask you guys, we talk about it all the time on the podcast. It's like all these bands and these acts and everybody from Wisconsin. So Adam always says, must be something in the water. What do you think
it
is?
Well, JP just told me this morning while we were getting bagels, and I was late for my session, but he was taking me down a psychedelic train. You were telling me that there's extra lithium in the water in Baraboo.
Yeah, there's so an abnormally high level of lithium in the
water. That must be it. There's a lithium deficiency now in everybody's veins, yeah. And so they're all crazy.
Yeah.
How does the lithium get there? What do you mean there's extra lithium? Are we adding that with the fluoride now?
There's a trace amount of lithium all the time, but the hills, we have all this glacial action that like deposited stuff in like all around southern Wisconsin, and Baraboo has an abnormally high level of lithium naturally occurring in the
water. What's the circus there? I can't remember.
It's Ringling Brothers. Ringling Brothers,
yeah.
So but he's not a Baraboo guy. They were...
Well, we got him there when he was like 15.
Yeah,
so
I was still in my development. Like my brain was still developing when was getting injected into.
Yeah.
It,
so.
Wait, you moved to Baraboo when you were 15?
Into. Do you know Matt Omen from Fox?
Yeah. He's out all summer, I think.
Yeah, he was with us all summer.
Yeah. Oh, duh. So we were staying in his dad's basement in early We the Living days, like just in the basement, like six cots.
You and Matt.
and JP band, yeah. and like all of these. And Monica was there from Fox.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Like, Zach Johnson. Like all of these people that you've met.
What about, where did Eric show up?
Eric was...
Can I tell the story? Okay, so Brian and Eric basically, like, I have it in my history that I found out was wrong. I think that they won a Battle of the Bands to open up for us.
And I remember that story.
Yeah, and so I was watching them from stage, and they're like, Eric's like 17 and Brian is 16, and they just like slayed the show for four people. It was like, oh my God. It was a monsoon, so like the show was almost going to be canceled. We're like, let's just play it anyway. So, so I was watching them. I was like, these are the best two musicians I've ever met. And like, Eric was just about to go to college at Berklee School of Music. Brian was like kind of being like, I'm not going to go to Boston. And I was like, well, you can join our band if you don't want to leave. He's like, sure. So he like came over and like kind of joined our camp and went on tour with us. And then Eric came back to Nashville, and like we kind of all reconnected after that. But Eric was sort of the like the out man for a couple years while
he
went
was
to
the,
school.
He was the long-term plan of JP's sneaky little versions of getting people to play with him.
Okay, I guess we can all take a second to take our lithium, and in the meantime, check out Boy Bjorn, Brian Hall's band. This is Boy Bjorn playing the like hauntingly beautiful song Lungs. How did you know Eric?
I knew Eric from church growing up. So.
Oh, so you knew Eric before you went to Baraboo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had started the first version of Foreign Fields before.
They were called Flights, and it was impossible to Google their name.
Yeah. I remember because when I found them, they were Flights.
The Counting Crows tour is the reason why we changed our name. Because our manager was like, "Guys, do me a favor and just Google search Flights."
Oh, shit. But like 5 minutes later, there was another band called Flights.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
it's like a hardcore band now or something like that. From
well, now you just spell it with a V and it'd be fine, you know? Flights.
I mean, I have my first copy of Anywhere But Where I Am says Flights.
Wow.
That's worth at least $20 on eBay.
That's good.
Because you were the third person to buy the album.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah, we were like sitting in the kitchen and it's like, yo, dude, it says Adam Duritz with this crazy email address, just bought the CD. Yeah. He was in his little office. We're like, no chance. No chance.
And then
he
posted about us on Facebook and I was like, Eric!
Is the second person Sean Mueller?
Maybe.
Yeah, so Sean found it.
No, I know how Sean found it because he was.
On a blog, right?
He was looking at this blogger musician's website blog, and on the top of her page, she had one of those revolving things of music I'm listening to lately. And it was like one album went by, and then another album went by, and then the cover for Anywhere But Where I Am came up.
Yeah.
And he was like, wow, what a great album cover. He loved the cover, and so he clicked on it and checked it out, and then he called me and said, I just heard the most incredible record I have ever heard in years. It's so beautiful. You have got to check this out. It will blow your mind. And so I was like, oh, okay. You know, I will. You know, and so I went on. I got the record, and I called them back. I'm like, these guys are insane. This record is so good. It's funny that we're like that girl, whoever the website was, is probably number one.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know this at all. Until you tell me this just now, I have no idea. But I know Sean got it before me, so that would make him like two.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know what we were doing at all. Like, we had nothing, and we just put it up on Bandcamp one day. Like, literally just at the coffee shop, like, hey, I guess we have an album out now, and, you know, and then, like, literally 3 months later, we came down to South By to play was it called Outlaw Roadshow at that point? I think so.
Either that or it was like Smoke and Sand. I can't remember if it was Outlaw Roadshow yet.
Outlaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that because we went, Ryan and I, who was probably four or five, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan, because I called him up after that and said, you've got to check us out. We've got to get these guys. And we had you scheduled for the Outlaw Roadshow. And the day before that, you were playing a Day Trotter session at Danny's place.
Yeah.
And so we walked over there and we sat down. And you guys, I remember Nate was in a closet playing the drums.
Yeah.
And you guys played Pillars. And it was like the most stunning thing I'd ever heard. And when it was done, I walked over to you and I said, wow, that was absolutely incredible. And you're like, you said, oh, that's good. This is the first time we've ever played for people. And I was like, oh, well.
Literally our first show. Song ever.
Then you'll be fine.
It's only up from here.
Yeah, so our show is your second show.
Yeah.
I'm always coming in second with these guys.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Yeah. Well, it gets crazy here, so I would ask you guys a million questions, but a couple of things. I want to say my wife is a huge fan of Far and Field. She plays, she's a yoga instructor. So before I knew them, she was like, Far and Field? Shit, I've been listening to that for years. Yeah. They're great, those guys.
Oh,
so,
man.
And then I wanted to ask you, what was it like to be on the road this year with Counting Crows and playing to those crowds and kind of playing your music?
It was insane. It was like the coolest, craziest thing that's ever happened. And it was like just this opportunity to play for a huge amount of people and to learn this whole new skill set that I've never had before and to get to watch how it happens on the highest levels and get to see how everybody has to work together to make this thing happen. I try to keep my expectations low because it's I didn't want to get there and have it be something totally different, but it so drastically surpassed my expectations. It was the best summer ever. So much fun. Yeah. Thanks for that, by the way.
Well, I think our crew makes it it can be shocking to go from our tour to other tours at times, I think, because the crew is so helpful and good with everybody that, I think there are people out there who are shitty to other bands and opening bands, but now our crew is, they make everybody's lives pretty pretty good.
And you can see how, each... I didn't realize how much, and sorry that I have to say this in front of you here, but I didn't realize how much the vibe of the lead man kind of leads into this pyramid of how everybody else acts and treats each other, even when that person isn't around. And I didn't realize how much, until I was watching the Crows set and like Adam in the middle of a song, like walked over to the piano and like picked up a microphone and changed the set list, and like everybody on the side was like, ugh, and they were like printing stuff out and like sending stuff up on stage and everything, and I was like, oh, this entire pyramid of these great people all goes through him, and he's like actually running this show the whole time, you know. It was like oh, so my respect for you really like quintupled over the summer. Yeah, it was a very impressive feat.
Let me point out one thing though. I did not just come out and tell you not to play solo stuff this summer. You came to me and you said, what should I do? Should I play with the band or should I play solo? And because of my experience with you, which is that every time I've seen you, by the way, it's been with a totally different kind of band. The first time I saw Boom Forest play, you had all Foreign Fields, including all the lead singers, playing drums. And it was wild.
What a terrible idea.
No, it was fucking spectacular. It was one of the coolest sets I have ever seen.
Terrible idea, spectacular.
It worked. It was so like dynamic, and it was just intense. And then the second time I saw you, you had the face paint band with all like the like kind of Native American makeup,
guys,
and that was also incredible. So when you asked me that question, I was like, "Well, yeah, take the band," which is not to say don't play any solo songs out there, because you are kind of great at that. And then this summer you come up with an entirely different thing, which was also really cool. This sort of electronica with the drums. Also really great. Every time I've seen you, it's been with a completely different thing. But I did not say, don't play solo
stuff.
Okay,
all right. I'll edit that in my history.
I didn't
in
just come
history.
Out and say it. You no. asked me a question.
No, no, it'll be perfect. We'll play that on the podcast, yeah, right. And then he'll respond to it. It's fantastic. It's like the, crossfire.
It's all, like, that's just a microcosm of, like, what JP's brain is doing about all of his life situations all the time. Like the amount of bands that he has, that Boom Forest has, and that he spends so much time like preparing and worrying about and all this stuff, and then it's like a great show. That's like JP's life. He like prepares, like
I like a good
trying
puzzle,
to man. Like and meanwhile we're all on the sidelines and we're like, wait, why are you driving here to fly to Paris and then to go to? Why wouldn't you just drive to LA and like do, and just have a nice life? But it's like it all leads up to all this crazy nonsense. He's just dealing with his lithium deficiency. Lately, I'm thinking about only you. You've infiltrated my system. How could you expose my weakness? Defenses are gone. And how long has this been going on? And lately, you've got me wrapped around your finger. And lately, you're just what I want, and it lingers. You may not want this, but I can't pretend there's anything else on my mind. I wanna know where you've been. Yeah. I wanna know where you've been. I wanna know where you've been. You've been on the tip of my tongue, never much further away, but just what thought I keep having. Oh, could it be true that you and I could have something so good? Feels good. I really wanna know, I really wanna know where you've been. Yeah, yeah, I wanna know where you've been. Good guy, girl, I wanna know where you've been. Come on, I wanna know where you've been. There's only one thing on my mind, on my mind. On my mind, 'cause I married you the first second that I fucking saw you. And oh yeah, you've been on my mind, on my mind, on my mind, on
no, no, I want to know where you've been.
Thank you.
Are you touring this new project you got going? Are you going to go out on the road?
A little bit. Just, you know, we've got the same, or I've got the same agent as Foreign Field, so he's like, we're actually playing a random Thai festival in Thailand.
Oh, really?
In December.
Boy,
yeah.
Bjorn or Foreign Field?
Boy Bjorn.
Wait, is it called Mysterious Fruit or something?
Very Wonderfruit.
Dude, Lewis Cole's going to be there. Have you heard him?
Who's that? No.
He's Reggie Watts' drummer, and he's like got a solo record that's really awesome that just came out. And I just saw he was playing in Thailand. Nice. I was like, that's got to be the same festival. Yeah. So, yeah.
Who's going over with you to play?
So I had to ask Eric because it kind of came through Foreign Field stuff. So I was like, I got to ask him. And then Matt Holman is going to be playing in Boy Bjorn. And then my bass player, too. A guy you haven't met, Ryan Lammy, in Madison. So
that's really
should
cool.
be fun.
I've never been to Thailand.
Dang.
Yeah. So tell us about you're going to go and record. You told me when you get back from here, you're going to go make anywhere.
Foreign Fields, number three. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anywhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe everywhere is where you are.
No matter where you go.
No, we're just, Eric and I are renting a cabin in Wisconsin, and so I just think, like, we're going to go to a certain place mentally to kind of, like, put us back. Because anywhere but where I am was literally recorded, like, you can hear our jackets because it was recorded in an empty, basically, warehouse in West Bend. We didn't have anything, there was no budget or anything, it was just the two of us, and we're like, oh, do you know how to use the software? No, I guess we'll just play acoustic guitars and, like, there's cardboard boxes in that recording, you know, like, cardboard box drums. We just went around and found this box, and we're like, well, why don't we put this in there? And then, you know, later on it gets picked up for a sink for like $15,000, and we're like, do not tell them that it's a cardboard box. but I just got a feeling that.
Well, I cannot wait for that Foreign Fields album, that's for sure. But let's take another break from the interview and check out another song by Boy Bjorn. This is Be the One. Dig it.
Place. Finally, I'm grateful
turn away with the part that's been fading down, the horror and the racing. I never wanted to be the one to say, you never need to explain it all to me.
So Boom Forest, Foreign Fields, and our friend Kelsey Kopecky are doing like a three-way collab song that's going to be out at the end of the year that's super sick. I'm really excited for it. It's going to be like a hip-hop triple collaboration. So it's not hip-hop music, just hip-hop style with three artists on it. So yeah, like, yeah.
Who doesn't like a three-way?
Dang! Menage hip-hop.
Nice. Take us out.
Yeah. Yesterday I kept thinking of all the good one-liners about 2 minutes after I should have said them, so I'd have to interject them later. So, but today, that one, right on time.
Great, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really... That was,
set them up well.
I feel good about that. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Gus, thanks a lot for joining us on the podcast. Best of luck with the new project, and congratulations on the tour, man.
That's really
thank cool. You. Those songs are great. We're going to play some of the Garden Sessions on the show.
Awesome.
So. Two of my favorite guys and oldest friends from the Outlaw Roadshow, Underwater Sunshine.
I've been listening to stories about you guys from him for years now.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, awesome. Farm Fields, what the hell's wrong? Where you been?
Snoozing on it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Well, I got that funny feeling again. Yeah, I got that funny feeling in my soul. Well, my brother reads philosophy and I play rock and roll, but I still get these funny feelings in my soul. But it's hard to know exactly what they mean. Yeah, my truth will all be played by tambourine, and the horns scream all my weaknesses. My hopes hide in the strings, and I hope to God you might know what that means. 'Cause honey, you could make me whole again. Lover, you could make me good again. When I'm broken and bent, could you take me on the mend and lay me down in your bed like freshly laundered linen? But it's easier sometimes to up and go and never have to answer to a soul. But it leaves me worn and weary. Yeah, it leaves me cold, alone. Oh, still sometimes I find it's best to up and go. 'Cause adventure is the only call I hear. Yeah, I'm anxious till I reach the great frontier. But it's a million miles from Nashville.
Maybe love could be that final great frontier. And maybe you could make me whole again. Lover, you could make me good again. And when I'm broken and bent, could you take me on the bed and lay me down in your bed like freshly laundered linen? Down in your bed like freshly